Okay, so this past week's parsha, Parsha's Kisi. So obviously, much is discussed about the Chet HaEgel. I'm not the guy who's going to try to explain what they did wrong and where, say we would have done differently if only we were there and what were they thinking and that type of conversation. We have no idea of understanding what it meant and what was the sin and what they did wrong. But I think what we could take away perhaps is lessons from what it means. The Gemara Ne'ervin tells us that if the Luchos were never broken, then no nation would ever have any control over the Jewish people, which means anti-Semitism wouldn't be a thing if we would have got those Luchos. Fortunately, we didn't get those Luchos, and we're still feeling it. Even today, we're still feeling what it means to be disliked by the outside world. But the Gemara says in Ne'ervin, had we gotten those first Luchos, then no nation would ever be able to harm us, to control us. We would also never forget our learning, which would be really nice. Think about that. If we, what would it mean not to have had those luchos broken? But one of the lessons that we can all learn from the story of the Egel is that Bnei Yisrael's mistake, if you want to call it that, was they were too quick to decide. They didn't take a couple steps back and said, "Let's rethink this. Let's give it some thought." Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed. He'll come. We were living in the mindset of what we call knee-jerk reaction thoughts. Whatever, right away, boom, boom, boom. That's why if you look in the Medrash, the Pirkei de Blazer, the women didn't do that. They actually took a couple steps back and they said, "No, let's think about this for a second. Why should I give my jewelry to the eagle?" None of this makes any sense. They gave some thought. The men were just quick, quick, rush, 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 rush. That unfortunately is the way we do a lot of things in life. We're quick to make decisions. We don't often think them out, and then they're not always the best and the wisest decisions. So one of the messages we definitely could learn in our life, then we have to make difficult decisions, is to always take a step back, breathe a little bit, think about it, don't rush, see whether or not there's a simpler answer, an easier answer, instead of rushing to quick knee-jerk reaction decisions, because unfortunately it doesn't turn out well for the Jewish people. Okay, so today's learning is a schos for the Shloshim of Nechama, Yitzchak Isaac, the mother of Jeff, Mitzvah Neshama, through all the wonderful things her children and grandchildren are doing, Mount of Habatzis Torah, Limud Torah, and all the great chesed that they do for Klai. So we'd like to welcome back to Dr. and Mrs. Freeman. It's a schos to have you back in person. I know it's a real schos to have you back. I know you'd rather be in Eretz Yisrael. We're very happy to have you, and we enjoy as long as we get to have you guys here in person back with us in this year.
Okay.
We left off last week. We really got to wrap things up because, believe it or not, Purim is around the corner. And because Purim is on Sunday, we got to have a share a week before. So we're going to, Mr. Shem, have the Sunday before Purim. We will do a Purim topic. That's not next Sunday. It's a week from next Sunday. So I want to wrap up the sugya so we can have some form of a closure on the sugya before we move on to something else. So last week, we were discussing the question of Rabbeinu Tam Shita. We mentioned there's a big machlokes we're showing between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. Do women make a bracha on a mitzvah to say Shehazman Grama? The Rambam was very clear. We discussed it about 2 weeks ago. Machlokes is Rambam and Ravid, but the Rambam was very clear. He didn't give us a reason. To be fair and honest, if you look up that Rambam again, in the Rambam was Hilchot Tzitzis, the Rambam didn't say why women can't make a bracha on a mitzvah to say Shehazman Grama. He just says they don't. And the Ravid quotes, Yesh Shoyim, that they do make a bracha. Then we came today to Rabbeinu Tam. The Rosh brings down from Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, women can make a bracha on a mitzvah to say Shehazman Grama. Tosfos also dealt with it in our sugya and kedusha, but Tosfos didn't really give us too much of explanation. Tosfos just told us facts. Tosfos said, "Well, we compare it to Suma, and just like a Suma makes a bracha, an Isha can make a bracha." And we pointed out the last couple of weeks that that comparison has numerous issues and aharis. So we left off last week. We got through the Rush. The Rush was on the first side of the page that says Shenum Beis. The Rush started to bring us rayas, actually about women. This is the first time we saw a raya directly, not about a Suma, but about a lady. What was the raya that the Rosh brought? He brought the Gemara in Eivin. The Gemara in Eivin tells us there was Machlokes Tanoim, whether or not they protested when Micha Bar Shaul put on tefillin. So one man, the Omar, said there was no protest, and one man, the Omar, said there was a protest. Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and I think the Tana Kamma. So the Rosh comes up with the following with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So the Rosh says like this: the man, the Omar, that protested, what was he protesting against? Why does he care if women put on tefillin? What bothers you about that? Says the Rosh, it must be that what bothered him was the bracha. Meaning that sheet in the Gemara, Reb Yosi, who protested, he wasn't protesting the act of the mitzvah. The act of the mitzvah they can do, just like they blow shofar, they shake a loaf. What he was protesting was the bracha. Now, the Gemara never says she made a bracha. The assumption of the Rosh is that when the Gemara says, Micha Bar Shaul put on tefillin, she put on tefillin like a man puts on tefillin. He's with a bracha. And on that sheet in the Gemara, Reb Yosi protested, and Reb Yehuda, I'm sorry, Reb Yehuda protested, Reb Yosi didn't. Says the Rosh, where's the point of disagreement? It must be over the bracha. So we who paskin that women are allowed to do the mitzvah, we paskin women are allowed to do the bracha. So now at least we're talking in our world. Here we have a Gemara Mefurish in Ervin, where at least according to the Rosh, we have a raya that women taka do make a bracha on tefillin. Tefillin is time sensitive, and now we have a raya that women can make a bracha on a time sensitive mitzvah. Unfortunately, this is not going to go untested by the other Rishonim, because this raya is not an ironclad raya. So let's turn to the next side. We're going to skip number 8 of Mincha Shlomo. Okay, if you want to look at it on your own, it's more negate to Hanukkah than anything. But let's take a look at the Sefer HaMachna for a second. The Sefer HaMachna has a very interesting observation. We spoke last week about a machloikis Rishonim. Does a Suma have to keep loisaseis? Right? Does a Suma have to keep loisaseis? If you hold a Suma's part of the mitzvahs, what about loisaseis? Does he have to keep a loisaseis? So the Sefer HaMachna has the following question. He says, L'chayru ha'yinir l'farish, l'fi masha kazuv ha'tezis be'erven daf tzadi vov. Div ramazchul dilma sov, source number 9. Ein raya li'isha, dekotten osi ve'ene muzra le'sisa. He points out like this. If you hold, what's the issue with making a bracha when you're not obligated? It's an issue of loisisa. You're perhaps violating saying Hashem's name in vain. To which the Rosh told us, Rabbi Natan told us, that's only an asmachta, and therefore women would be able to make the bracha. But says the Sefer Machna number 9, Imkin Koshel Lechayr al Rabbi Natan. De in raya nami liisha misuma. The mashmid al bihuda pata afilo mimitzos loisa say. Kedial baba kamo. Frek the Machna, let's go back a step. If you hold the Suma is pata from loisa says, that means he's parted from the Isra of Loisisa. He's allowed to say Hashem's name anytime he wants. So if a Suma is allowed to say Hashem's name anytime he wants, so how can you compare an Isha to a Suma? We pointed out before we saw Rabbeinu Tam, the only Mara Mokum that we had about brachas on women was from a Suma. We said, well, if a Suma makes a bracha even though he's parter, so an Isha, a blind person. So if a blind person can make a bracha even though he's parter from the mitzvahs, so to a lady. In fact, they say for a makta, what are you talking about? A blind person can make a bracha because there's nothing stopping him from making a bracha. Where's the downside? What's the downside to make a bracha? So we point out the downside is you're violating loisis hashem hashav.
That's a lav.
But that's a lav. Asuma's not chayiv in a lav according to some. But an isha we know is chayiv in a lav. So asks the Sefer HaMachna, how can you compare one to the other? They affect the Sefer HaMachna. So what you see from the Sefer HaMachna is if you assume that asuma's parta from lavin, which we did see such a shita, if you remember last week, so then there's absolutely no raya from asuma to an isha. Yeah, that's what we learned last week. We learned last week that a Suma can eat Basa B'chalof. Basa B'chalof, Gilei Raya, you name it. Thank you very much. Well, we assume not like that. But there's Rishayim like that. Definitely Rishayim that hold that way. Now, the only thing I would argue in the Sefer HaMakta would be is maybe a little different. I would argue that maybe the reason why a Suma doesn't make a bracha is not because of the Leisisa. Maybe it's just because it doesn't fit the idea. I mean, why would an Isha not make a bracha on a Mitzvah Shaz Magam? So we'll keep on saying, because she can't say the word of Vitzivon. It's more than that. It's not just a technical, a language issue. It's that the entire idea of a bracha doesn't fit over here. Bracha goes to commandments. When you're not command, you don't make a bracha. Why don't I make a bracha if I do anything that's not a mitzvah? Because I can't say the word of Tzivanu? No. It's because that's not what a bracha is. A bracha is supposed to be meant connected to a commandment. So if that's what a bracha is, it doesn't make sense to say it anytime you're not commanded, even if I could somehow finagle the words of Tzivanu. If you say it that way, then Suma and Isha are back on being on the same playing field. The Machna is assuming what makes the only red flag about making a bracha on a mitzvah say is, are you over loisisa? Well, since the Suma is not over loisisa, he can make the bracha. Maybe there's something more than that. Maybe it's not just loisisa. Maybe it's just that the whole idea of a bracha doesn't make any sense if you're not obligated. Brachas were nesaka, not mitzvahs. If you're not mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. Forget loisisa. Stamazay. It's not what Chazal intended when they made up a bracha. So let's take a look over here in the Ritva. This is a very...
Correct.
The fee has nothing to be against. So we'll see. There's another reason why they protest. Let's take a look in the Ritva number 10. This is the Ritva by Yasin Kedushin. The Ritva goes to a long arichos, very long discussion. Should women make a bracha? Should women not make a bracha? And he quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says women do make a bracha on time-sensitive mitzvahs. Why? Because of Micha Ba'ashal put on tefillin, and the protest was only because of the bracha. So if you hold that you can make a bracha, so then you hold it's not a problem. Says the Ritva v'yesh adoichem rayazu. Says the Ritva, gevaldik a point, that the raya for Micha Ba'ashol is not a good raya at all. The lo'ilam Micha Ba'ashol lo'i ho'isim v'rechas aleim. First of all, who said Micha Ba'ashol made a bracha? Doesn't say anyone in the Gemara made a bracha. So maybe Micha Ba'ashol put on tefillin. But she didn't make a bracha. And I can't, she didn't make a bracha. Well, Rabbi Yehuda Michu, I said, wants the kasha, so why did Rabbi Yehuda protest? She's not making a bracha. Why do you care if she does it? So he says, "No, mishum b'tzfilim tzrichim gufnaki kealisha b'akafayim, v'noshim einan nikias le'nikias guf le'nikias das." Says the Ritva, "No, there's another reason to protest. Not because of the bracha. They didn't make a bracha. And you have absolutely no raya in Shas that a lady can make a bracha on a time-sensitive mitzvah. So if a lady's not making the bracha, why does Rabbi Yehuda care so much if she does it? So he says, because tefillin is not like shofar, it's not like lulav, it's not like sukkah. All those other mitzvahs, do them, no problem. Tefillin requires a high level of cleanliness. The kiyas haguf and the kiyas hadas. And he felt, again, not that women can't have it. He felt men can't have it either. But since men are obligated, we push ourselves to do it. But since women are not obligated, why push yourself to do a mitzvah which requires so much high level of nikiyat if you're not obligated? That's the way you have to say it to be politically and honestly correct. Now, that's not just to be politically correct. That's what the Paiskim write. Look at the Nisei Kalim and Shulchan Aruch. That's how they explain this. They don't say that men are just better at this than women. Chas v'shalom, probably on the contrary, actually. It's just that being that men are obligated, they have to push themselves to do what they're not normally good at. But women, since they're not obligated, why make yourselves so difficult to be able to be Mekayim Nikias? Machshavas, I shouldn't be, you know, thinking, you know, it's a shopping list of what you're doing for the kids that day and stuff like that. No. It's not. Nikias has to do with Guvnaki, passing gas and other thoughts and cleanliness. So again, the Aruch HaShulchan writes this explicitly. It's not the pshat that women are less cleanly than men. On the contrary, they're probably better than men. But it's the word is that since it's hard for everyone, so men that are obligated, so we tell them, listen, guys, get your act together, clean up, and think good thoughts for the 20 minutes you're waiting to film. But since women are not chayv, why should we push them to do a mitzvah that requires so much extra added, you know, cleanliness? You're not obligated. Sukkah, no problem. Sit in the sukkah. No one has any problem with it. So he writes over here, why didn't they agree? He disagreed. He said, what do you mean? Women can also learn how to train and be prepared to do the mitzvah. So that's why they disagreed. What about Yoino's wife? She brought karbonis. That was part of the discussion over there. Again, not our sugya. The person like Gazu Dilma Michlafe Ba'ilis Ri'ya, Kivin Delekach Shoshachwin, and Miata Ein Lashom Raya. Oh, this is what we need. Says the Ritva, Me'ato Ein Lonu Shom Raya, the Zavir Bein Utam. Says the Ritva Gavaldik, Rabbi Utam's opinion is not backed up in the Gemara. And man, we mentioned this last week. If you go through Shas, I don't know about Yishalmi, you go through Shas, you will not find great Rayas to back up Rabbi Utam. I mean, the time sheet that women make brachos and mitzvahs and grandma, you'd be very, very hard pressed to find a good gemara that sounds like it. The only gemara that the Rosh brought was the gemara by Micha Bashal, and the Ritva just disproved that gemara. Says the Ritva, nonetheless, he says, even though afilu hachi hadas machratz, he says logic dictates. I mean, the time is right. I have no rias, but I logic. Sheikur hadin kidvarav. I think I mean, the time is right. The kiven the noshim soim chesbushos. Since women are allowed to do smicha, that's the gemara over there about women doing smicha on an animal. The hein noit l'schar aleihem ba'asiyosam. So the Torah makes two combinations. A lady is allowed to do the mitzvah, plus the fact she gets reward when she does the mitzvah. Din hu, it makes sense. Shehu mevareches, they are able to make a bracha. Ukedis hein loim rashay kedushon v'mitzvayis v'tzivanu. And they can make the bracha, asher kedushon v'mitzvayis v'tzivanu. Why, says the Torah? Sharehein b'chlal yisrael. They are included in Klal Yisrael. Shehei mitzvah lasa is because they are commanded to do it. Now, they're not really commanded to do it. They are allowed to do it. And if they do it, they get some form of reward. But they're not commanded. Commandment means you must. They don't have a you must on this one. But they are still in the parsha. V'af yesh lahem rishos. They even have permission. V'noy tel eschar, they get reward. Shaper kvina bei v'tzivanu v'chlal kol Yisrael. So what's the Ritva trying to do over here? The Ritva is trying to figure out how can we justify a lady making a bracha saying the word v'tzivanu when it's just not true. She's not commanded. Says the Ritva, you're right. She's not commanded, but she is related to this mitzvah. How is she related to the mitzvah? First of all, she's allowed to do the mitzvah. That's already step number one. Step number two, she gets reward for doing the mitzvah. Now, what does that show you? The reward for the mitzvah is a raya that she has a shaychus to the mitzvah. Because if she would have no connection to the mitzvah, she wouldn't be getting reward for the mitzvah. Says the Ritva, you put that all together, we can now justify why she makes a bracha. Then he throws in another line. Shaper Karina Bei B'tzivanu B'chlal Kol Yisrael. She's not like part of Klal Yisrael. She's part of the rest of Klal Yisrael. Mivarechas V'nishkeri, she makes the bracha and she gets the reward. Well, Suma, we have a raya already that Suma can make a bracha. Suma wasn't as hard. Suma, we have a raya from the Gemara that he makes a bracha. Isha was the controversial one. The Chendas Rabbeinu HaGodlo, the Talmidim, Mayri, Rabbeinu HaLevi, my Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaLevi, the Ra'ah. Okay, so this is the Shita Saritva. So the Ritva is saying, I have no good Ryan Shas. All I have is Svar. What's the Svar? The Svar is that since women have the ability to do the mitzvah, they have the reward for doing the mitzvah, they could somehow make the bracha vitziva. If you look in the Ran, he says also a similar lumdus. He writes, number 11, Afa pisha nidchu rayos of Rabbeinu Tam. Even though Rabbeinu Tam's rayos are not, do not withstand, they are all disproven. Heskimu achreinim ledaitoi. The achreinim agree with him. Dimavereches. You do make a bracha. Why? Kimet shenet tel eschach. Step number one. Since women get schach. I mean, that's a sign that they have a shaykhah to the mess. Because if they wouldn't get reward, they wouldn't. They if they'd be getting reward, that's a sign, that's a simon that they have a shaykhah to this mitzvah. Because if you do something that you have no connection to, you don't get any reward for it.
And what are they getting this chayah? The kima mitzvah, the maisim mitzvah? That should make a chilp, no?
I'm not sure what you mean by the. Well, definitely not the kima mitzvah. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Well, the maisa mitzvah is well, we'll talk. We'll see. We'll see what exactly they're getting reward for. Says the Ran, kiva daminon. We learned the Gemara Godel Hamitzuva Voice and Misha Ena Mitzuva Voice, right? Midikomar Godel. The Gemara says that he who's commanded gets bigger reward. Mashma Sha'afal Pisha Ena Mitzuva Scharu. He still get reward. Now we argued this in the first share, the Ritva. Maybe she gets reward for trying to be closer to Hashem. She doesn't get reward for putting on tefillin. She doesn't get reward for sitting in a sukkah. That's only for those people that are obligated. So why is she getting reward for? Because she's a really good person. She wants desperately to connect to Hashem's mitzvahs. That we discussed is a possibility. It sounds like from these Rishonim, they're not going that way. They're assuming that the reward is for the mitzvah that was taking place. Says the Ritva, V'kivin shebechlal ha-mitzvah sein, since she's included in the mitzvah because she gets reward for the mitzvah, hein mivarechas, they can make the bracha. V'chitei, so what the Ran seems to be addressing was my first point that I made to you earlier. The Ran is saying, how do you make a bracha on something that you have no shaykhahs to? Again, if I wake up in the morning and I exercise, I don't make a bracha on it. Why not? It's a very important thing because you want mitzvah to do. Brachas were given to those that are commanded. Says the Ran.
That's the beginning part of this one.
The Ran is bavurin the kasha. How does she forget the words vitzivon? Samazay. The idea of brachas when it's sakin on commandment. She's not commanded. How does she make a bracha? So to that point, the Ran says, no. The fact that she's getting reward for this mitzvah means this is not coming from left field. This is something that is Ratzon Hashem. This is something that's important. This is something that's valued in the eyes of Hashem. So we perhaps can justify a bracha. I mean, it's not like doing an activity that's so mundane and has absolutely no connection to anything that, of course, you're not going to make a bracha. That's what the Rana seems to be bavarning in his first couple piece words.
Shouldn't it also make a difference whether the women not, whether it's a hutch or a dechuya? In other words, and therefore, that would make the difference in the bracha?
I'm not sure. I don't think there's any tzad that it's dechuya when it comes to women.
You mean it's hutch or
yeah, there's no tzad.
It's not pshat that they were commanded, but because they have the excuse, because they have their husbands and the.
No, I don't think anyone assumes it's dechuya.
No?
I don't think so. They were potter. The Torah exempted them. That was it. Oh. I would assume it's a given it's going to be hutra. That's the reason for the Abu Juham. But at the end of the day, we don't really, the Gemara never gives us a reason. That's the Abu Juham's interpretation.
Tour implies an underlying chiyuv. So maybe they have a chiyuv.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about it. We'll talk more about it.
Torah,
okay, obviously, the question is, no, the question is, where do we start? Meaning, where do we start off? We start off women and men are many, right? Men and women are created equal.
No, neither do my wife's children and grandchildren. So why should you?
Yeah, no, again, the assumption is men and women should be equal, right? And then for some reason, the Torah pulled women out and said they're potter. Okay. Why? I don't know. Right. Okay. That's true too. But again, at the end of the day, the Torah exempted women. The question is, what does that mean? Does that mean the Torah doesn't want them doing the mitzvah? That means the Torah doesn't expect them or demand of them to do it. That's the way we're going to talk about it. Because if the Torah goes out of its way to exclude it, well, then it would be us. Exactly. That's the right that the Rishonim are all bringing. The fact that, A, you're allowed to do it means it's not that Hashem doesn't want you doing it. If Hashem didn't want you doing it, Hashem would prohibit you from doing it. Not just not obligate you to do it. He would say, I don't want you doing this. He never says that by women. Not only does he not say that, he actually gives them reward. But that's what all the Rishonim, both the Ran and the Ritva, are proving, that that's a fancy way of saying a lady is not disconnected from the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. So this is the thing we have to get to in Rabbi Chanan.
Why doesn't the Ran as far as the Ritva? Because it's going on a
call. Oh, not there. Because again, the Ran is not bothering yet the problem of the Tzivonu. The beginning of the Ran, I think what the Ran is addressing is what bothers me about the Sugya. And I think it's Mavur like this, even in some Rishonim, Tysus and even sounds like this. When we talk about, right, you ask, stop 10 people on the street and ask them, what would be the issue about women making a bracha on mitzvah shezman grandma? And they all run to the vitzivonu word. I could say vitzivonu, the not mitzvah. I don't think that's the only issue. I think there's a more fundamental issue. That brachas were nisakin on things that are mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't say you make a bracha when you walk down the street. Why not? Because it's not a mitzvah. It's not anything special or unique or whatever it is. So when a lady's not obligated to mitzvah, does that take away from the chashivas of the act. Therefore, it just doesn't warrant the bracha. Not because you can't say the word mitzvah. Maybe you could somehow manage, justify the word mitzvah. But it doesn't. Well, again, if the word mitzvah means commandment, so the moment you're not commandment, it loses the shei mitzvah. So that's the Rishayim is riot. On that, the Rishayim say, no, that's not the lamb. That's not the lamb that's over here. The fact that they get rewarded, the fact that they're allowed to do it is a giveaway that, yes, they're not commanded, but they're not disconnected from this mitzvah either. When a lady does mitzvah A, she's still doing a mitzvah, which is why she gets reward, which is why she's allowed to do it, which perhaps can even justify a bracha, because it's not a mundane act. It's that holy act that a man does. Now, frek duran, v'chitema, heich mevarechetz v'tzivonu. Now I got a practical problem, not a lomdish problem. I have a logistical problem. How do you say the word v'tzivonu if it's just not true? On that answers the Ran, v'ha'ay v'arei loy nitztavu, ekalameimar answers the Ran, no, I can justify that. The kivan da'anoshim nitztavu, A, men are obligated. Okay. That's very nice. How does it help for the women? The Ran's trying to tell you why a lady can make a bracha with the word v'tzivonu because men are obligated. Okay. Why does that do anything for me? Very nice. Baruch Hashem. How does that explain why a lady can say it? Then he makes it more. V'inu nami shaychi b'mitzvah. And on top of that, women do have shaychis to the mitzvah. Shareinu tell us ala eschar. Because they get reward for it. Shaper, v'tzuvin l'meimar, they can say v'tzivon. So this Ran is very troubling. What's this combination over here? He has two steps. Step number one is that men make the bracha. Men are definitely v'tzivonu. Step number two is that they get reward when they do the mitzvah. Okay. How do these two things work together?
Why are you focusing on the word mitzvah? The bracha is asher kiddushan of a mitzvah. So because bracha is makadish b'al Yisrael with mitzvahs. Right? Asher kiddushan of a mitzvah with his mitzvah.
Correct.
Vitzivano, this is one of those mitzvahs that he
no, but we say Vitzivano out. We say very clearly, he commanded me to do X.
Right. So sitting in a circle putting still on is one of those mitzvahs
that he commanded.
He is using to the Makadosh House. So I may not be chayav in it personally, but I'm connected to the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael.
But the word Vitzivano is trouble. The word Vitzivano means we were commanded. We were not commanded.
The royal law.
So that's what the Ran seems to be alluding to when he makes this comment that men are obligated. What does that do? The Torah says, when you say men are obligated, so now there's a we over here. There is a we. Who's the we? We men and the rest of us. But if you look in Rabbi Chanan, he's bothered, number 12 in the Kovet Shurim, he's bothered by this combination that the Ran makes over here. He says, he quotes the Ran, V'nira medivri haran, t'tzarech l'tzirif shnei ha'tayim. We have to put two reasons together. What are the two reasons? A, men could make, men are v'tzivanu, and women get reward. How does it help me? Because men are obligated. That's why I can say v'tzivanu. So what's the simple answer to Rabbi Chanan's kasha? Like everyone keeps on saying. Since there is a large group of population of Jews that are commanded, so now when I say v'tzivanu, I mean all of us. Meaning if there'd be no one that's obligated, then v'tzivanu would just be an outright lie. But now that there's a large group of Jews that are commanded, i.e. the men, so now even me as an Isha, when I get up and say Vitzivanu, I don't mean me specifically. I mean me, Vitzivanu, we as the all of Klal Yisrael. But ask Rabbi Chanan, v'atam ha'sheni gam kein tzarechin. The second svar also doesn't make any sense. Deni shemekabel ha'schar, ke'enim mitzvah v'oise. Very nice. You get reward like someone who's not obligated. Mikomokam harei lo nitzavu. You're still not commanded. Ve'eich yichoy l'sloy ma Vitzivanu. Rabbi Chanan is asking a very fundamental question, which we kind of been, right. I mean, Rabbi Chanan is asking all the Rishonim saying the same lashon. Since they get reward, it's a raya to something. Rabbi Chanan, a raya to what? It's not a raya that they're obligated. They're not. We know they're not obligated. If the problem is the one word vitzivana, we are commanded. How was that resolved by saying, well, women get reward when they do it? It's beautiful, they get reward. They're still not commanded. So, for Rabbi Chanan, how does that solve the problem? And that's clearly what the Ritva writes and what the Rabbi and the Ran writes, that since women get reward for a mitzvah to say Shaz Mangroma, that justifies their Vitzivan. How does that justify, for Rabbi Chanan? What changed? They're still not commanded. You can stand on your head and get reward and you're still not commanded. So, what changed because women get reward? So, Rabbi Chanan says a Gavaldi Gesod over here, number 13. This is something we discussed at length about Pesach. Pesach is a unique Yom Tov. Comes Pesach, we have a mitzvah deraisa timatzah on the first night. That's a mitzvah deraisa. What about the rest of Pesach? So we spoke, right? We pointed out it's bro, right? It's a rishos. If you want, you boy yochel, you boy lo yochel, right? But at the end of the day,
you don't make a bracha.
Oh, very good. If I eat matzah kol shiva, I do not make a bracha on every single kazayis that I eat. But many argue that if you do eat matzah, you become a mitzvah. So it says Rabbi Chanan, what's that combination? Very strange thing. You don't have to, but if you do, so he says Gevaldik. He quotes over here number 13. B'toises riva parashas boy, kasav b'shem achizkuni. Yesh luchot dvarim shemekablam schar aleim ba'asiyosin. There are certain things in the world that you get reward if you do them. But you don't get punished when you don't do it. Most mitzvahs are if you do it, you get a check. You don't do it, you get a punishment. That's called the bittul mitzvah zazay. If you put on tefillin in the morning, givaldik, you get a check. And if you don't put on tefillin in the morning, you're mevatel mitzvah zazay. That's a punishment. Says the Riva, there's a third category. If you do it, you get credit. And if you don't do it, nothing. What's that? He says, kivay matzah mila rishon ve'elech, matzah after the first night. Mikomok and kasav achilas ashisha also ashisha lasation emma shivas yom and matzah telu. It's problem. It says in the chumash 7 days you should eat matzah. Isn't that a biblical commandment? 7 days you eat matzah. Vizel shapir shemichil tolafish and emma yomim koymer mocha matzah kolzayin yomim time shiva mitzas matzah tech shivas yom matzah telu leilus minayin koymer mocha matzah kol shiva leilus minayin shakayim posugum bekabos chata meloymer ad yoyim echad vesrim ad kan l'shein. Says Rabbi Chanan, you know what the Rivah just told us? There's such a concept in Judaism called schar for doing it, no punishment for not doing it. That's matzah kol shiva. Matzah kol shiva is if you eat matzah kol shiva, you get check all the way up. And if you don't, if you just eat the kosher paste of potato chips, no punishment. Now, says Rabbi Chanan, how do you explain that? If Hashem wants us to do it, then he would tell us, I want you to do it. If Hashem doesn't want us to do it, he would tell us he doesn't want us to. What's his middle ground? So if you look at the next piece, number 14, he explains beautifully. He says, "V'das Rabbeinu Tam lifsoi kahachman da'omar v'yecholis loymar v'tzivanu shahamitzvah nitna l'noshim k'moy l'noshim elo she'enam nen choice bebitul ha'mitzvah." Says Rabbi Chanan, this is the Rabbeinu Tam. Kavaldik. Avada Hashem wants women to do mitzvah shezman grom. He loves when they do. What's my raya? Because they get schar. If Hashem did, first of all, Hashem lets them do it. Hashem gives them a reward for doing it. Says Rabbi Chanan, that's because Hashem loves it. So why doesn't he command them? Because it's too hard. Not practical. He doesn't demand. Again, we mentioned this story last week as parents. We all know this. Same thing as the Ketanim. Rabbi Chanan says about Ketanim. Sometimes we can't demand that we'd like to be done. We just can't demand it of them. It's not practical. It's too much for them. It's too hard for them. It's impractical for them. But Hashem loves it. There's no question. Says Rabbi Chanan, if that's the pshat, then you could say Vitzivanu. Vitzivanu doesn't mean Hashem practically said you have to do it. The Tzivon means that this is Ratzon Hashem. This is Ratzon Hashem. And there's no doubt it's Ratzon Hashem when a lady does Mitzvah Shezman Grom.
So why does he use Ratzon Tzivon instead of Ratzon?
Avada, the Tzivon is normal, but it's not a stira to the Tzivon. Meaning, Avada, if a woman, we're not going to start making women make their own text of the bracha and change it from the men. It's just that it's still...
We do it in the bracha in the morning. The sign of Tzivon.
Yeah, that's a bracha. Yeah. That's a bracha Hashemah. It's a different type of a bracha. This is a bracha Hamitzvah. Yeah?
Why are the mitzvahs? That
not too many. It's a good point. No, sukkah, the rest of sukkah, you do get it, you do make a bracha if you eat. If you eat on the third day of sukkah in the sukkah, you do make a bracha. That's the contrast. There's not too many mitzvahs. That's a good point. Sitzes. No, sitzes. Well, sitzes is even a step removed from that. Sitzes, you don't have to wear a beged of dal kanfas, but if you wear a beged of dal kanfas, you get a mitzvah. But once you put on that beged of dal kanfas, then you have to put on sitzes. It's different. Here, I can go the whole 7 days of Pesach and eat vegetables and whatever, and I didn't do anything wrong. It's a unique thing. You don't have it too many places where you have what, you know, muscle, some achrenim hold like that, some rishayim hold, that's the mitzvah Yishev Eretz Yisrael. That's really the idea of mitzvah kiyumis versus mitzvah chiyumis. That same idea. So this Rabbi Chanan is very geshmak. So according to this, now we understand why you could say vitzivanu. Vitzivanu means this is God's will. Avata Hashem wants women to do it. So if he wants it, why didn't he make them do it? Because Hashem also knows it's too much to demand of them. It's not practical. It's not fair. It's too much on their plate. Whatever, however you want to say it. So therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, you could say the word Vitzivan. And now all the Rishonim make much more sense. Why do the Rishonim keep on mutchering with the fact that they get reward? The answer is that's the biggest raya, that it's Ratzon Hashem. If it wouldn't be Ratzon Hashem, why is Hashem giving them reward for it? I told you not to do it. And now you do it, I'm going to give you a reward. It doesn't make any sense. Terry says, it's Ratzon Hashem. Avad Hashem wants it. He doesn't demand of it of you because it's too hard. But Ratzon Hashem it is.
How do we know again that they get reward?
The Gemara told us. The Gemara told us that when you're mitzvah, you get more reward. And when you're not mitzvah, you get less reward. What reward you still get?
So that's sort of more like Dave and I were saying before. In other words, it's sort of like a dechuya dikadin. In other words, they really have it.
But that's why. That's why I said. Again, I don't know what. I have to give you an example. I'm not sure exactly what the. I'm not sure if I've used those words in those nusach. The point is, it's rotten.
It's that concept. You know, is it really he wants it, but it's pushed off because he can't. But he really does want it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, you could say. Yeah. I don't like using such yeshivish terms, but. I guess that's what it means. I guess that's what it means. It means that the Ratzon Hashem, Rabbi Chanan told us like this, the Ratzon Hashem, Hashem's will and want is that women do these things. You ask me, so why didn't he obligate them? He didn't obligate them because it's too much, it's not practical. But his will and want is for sure there. Therefore, he wants to explain that's why they can make the bracha. No, the Fizek, Taka, maybe we can catch it. The Tzivanu doesn't mean.
The translation of the word is obligatory.
Right, so right, that's the question. So take a look in the. So take a look at him. Take a look at him at 15. The Divrei Yecheskel. He writes, "Sharei Das Rabbeinu Tam beKedushin the Noshim of Arechos on Mitzvah Shas Magrom." Rabbeinu Tam's famous sheet is that women make a bracha Mitzvah Shas Magrom. VaRamban vaHaran Soif Rosh Hashanah Hiskim LaDaiton. And the Ramban and the Ram both agree. The Mitam the Shaychi be Mitzvahs because they have a connection to the Mitzvahs. Why? Kima the Noitelus Aleska because they get reward. That's what the Rishonim all wrote. The Rishonim's answer to why women make a bracha on a time sensitive Mitzvah is because they get reward. Says the Divrei Yecheskel, "V'haytaimu the kiya mitzvah yesh lahem." This is what Michael was alluding to. They have what's called a kiya mitzvah. They do the act of the mitzvah. U'mishem hachi mivareches the ikur brocha netakna kiya mitzvah. He's addressing my problem. What was my problem? The whole idea of a mitzvah means you did God's will. When you're not doing Hashem's will, how do you even make a bracha in the first place? Forget the tzivano. Forget the word of tzivano. Let's make believe the tzivano doesn't appear in the bracha. But back to our original question. How do you make a bracha on something which is not Hashem's will? The answer is they did do Hashem's will. Why? Because they did a mitzvah. They did a mitzvah. They weren't obligated to do it, but the act that they performed was a kiyum mitzvah. Now, if that's true, this is what we spoke about in the first year. When a lady puts on tefillin, does she get a check for wearing tefillin? The answer is yes. She fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin. She wasn't obligated, but she still fulfilled it. So if that's the pshat, so then the bracha of the tzivano doesn't mean we were commanded to do Hashem's will, meaning tzivano doesn't mean what he told us to do. But tzivano means his mitzvahs. And I did do his mitzvahs. I was mekayim his mitzvah. I didn't have to do his mitzvah. I wasn't forced to do his mitzvah, but I was mekayim his rutz, like we said earlier. Therefore, that explains why a lady can make a bracha, even though the arkasha was the whole idea of a bracha only fits if you're fulfilling Hashem's will. The answer is, she is.
So, can women put on tefillin with a bracha today?
No, we'll see. That the tefillin is always the oddball out. Tefillin is always the tough one. Because like the Ritva said, because of gufnak. But Ashkenazi women do. Ashkenazi lady sits in the sukkah, she makes a bracha. That's where we pass, because Sephardi don't. Like the Rambam. Which is interesting, because it's not just Rabbeinu Tam that says women can make a bracha. The Ran, the Ramban, these are all Sephardi Shemeshayim. They all say women can make a bracha on a mitzvah as my grandma. But for some reason, Rambam alone. Yeah, it's interesting.
Does it come down to somewhat how you look at a bracha?
Yes, I think so.
Is it like when you're doing an act that is a mitzvah?
Yes, that was the chakira. Is a bracha on the kiyum hamitzvah or the bracha is on the chiyuv hamitzvah? That's the chakira. So obviously these Rabbeinu Tam held that the idea of a bracha was when you mekayim the mitzvah. You make a bracha when you're doing a mitzvah act, not a mitzvah commandment. And maybe this is like the Ran, right? Exactly. That's right. And that's how you're going to get around the tzivano. Maybe you can even get around the tzivano like that. The tzivano doesn't mean the commandment to do the act. It means the holiness injected into the act. And that's why all the Rishonim keep on muttering this notion of reward. Why do they keep on pushing this idea of reward? Because that's the raya that what they're doing is a kiyum mitzvah.
Trouble with the whole concept of mitzvahs that say that man grama. Is it that there's no chiyuv, or is it that it's a patur? So if you hold that you started out with the mitzvah, and then of course God said that I'm not going to be mocked when I'm doing that mitzvah for whatever the reasons are, okay? So I do the mitzvah, but I don't have to do the mitzvah, okay? Therefore, the schar is because when I did the mitzvah, it was like Nimishir Sadin. I didn't have to do it, but I did it. It was still a mitzvah. It was still my mitzvah, which I had an exemption for, and I voluntarily chose to do it. It's like, I don't know, paying extra taxes beyond what you're supposed to, right?
No, because that
rewarded for that.
No, but that's the shaila.
Or is that when Akash Baruch Hu exempted women from sukkah or tefillin or zman? He said you do not have the obligation from which I am exempting you. You don't have it in the first place. It's I don't know if it's just semantics or maybe
that's what I'm trying to figure out. Again, when the Torah was given to us, it said that women and men have to keep all the laws that say, and women don't have to keep certain mitzvahs.
What did it say then?
Good question. We'll have to get to it. It's a drusha.
Correct.
It's a drusha. The answer is a drusha. But your hakira is still very much relevant, because the question is, when the Torah exempted women, what did the Torah say? Did the Torah say, I am completely disconnecting you from this topic, and if you do it, you're getting reward. You'll get reward. But for someone who's just trying desperately to connect to Hashem, that's one way of looking at it. Havdil, maybe like a guy. Maybe. But when you're doing it, the other way of looking at it is no. Avada Hashem said, I want you and I wish and I love it and I'm excited, but I'm not going to demand it of you. Now, the other side of that, it's a very big nafkamina l'chayr. Right? We spoke about this a few weeks ago with Talmud Torah and Noshim. If you say it one way, the act that she's doing is, meaning, let's say a lady shakes the law of Ansukkah. Does that law now become Hoktzala Mitzvah? Because a mitzvah was done to it? Depends on this chakira. I agree. Now, this chakir might even go all the way up back to the machloikis Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. Do you make a bracha on mitzvah shas magrom? Could be Rabbeinu, the Rambam held, you don't make a bracha, not so much because of the tzivonu. You don't make a bracha because this is not a tzivoy from Hashem. She does it, good, she does it. And she's trying to be closer to Hashem, and it's beautiful and fantastic. Abba mitzvah, it's not.
You can get a star on it, man.
Possibly. We saw such a tzad like that in Ritva. She's getting schar for trying to get close to Hashem.
By the way, where is that gemara that says that a woman gets schar for going to mitzvah that she's not mechuyven? In other words,
but the Gemara with this is not by the Gemara is saying in the Ein Mitzvah.
Right.
Gemara was actually talking about a Summa.
Yeah, but
the Rishonim. Yes, it does. That was the Diak of the Ran. The Gemara says, God will have Mitzvah, you say, Yosef Mishain Mitzvah. Bigger is the reward for he who is commanded.
Right.
So we're Medag bigger, but the one who still gets some reward. That's what the Ran by us and the Ritva pointed out.
Mission to do it. I don't know if it's comparable.
We have that by Birchas Hanenin. We have most Birchas and Mitzvahs is not like that. We have that by Birchas Hanenin. We have that famous Vard farmer, Priskarov, by Birchas HaTorah. Usually that's not the case. Usually I don't need permission to shake a branch and a citrus fruit. I don't need Hashem's permission to do so. The Brach is connected to the Tzivo and therefore it's a discussion. Again, just to wrap it up, this is really the end of it. Again, at the end of the day, Ashkenazim do and Sephardim don't. But there is a lot of background that is relevant to understand or appreciate how it all plays out. If you take a look at number 16, just to the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah over there is in Simen Yud Zayin. Simen Yud Zayin is Hilchos Tzitzis. Hilchos Tzitzis is where the Mechab and the Ramah bring down this machlokes about whether or not women make the bracha on Mitzvah Shas Magram. And Mishnah Berurah says, why do women make a bracha? Daf Misha Eina Mitzvah V'Oisa Yesh Loschar. Because even though someone who's not commanded, he still gets a reward. V'Shayich Loimar V'Tzivanu. And he still could say the word of V'Tzivanu. Kivin Shanoshim Netzavu. Because men are obligated, so too they also get schar. Now, if you read this Mishnah Berurah as part of Mishnah Berurah Seder, you'd look up to what is he talking about? It doesn't make any sense. He's really combining the Ritva with the Shtika with the Ran, with Rabbi Chanan's Kasha. This Mishnah Berurah is a very complicated Mishnah Berurah. He seems to be trying to put all the Rishonim together and saying, well, the reason why women can make a bracha is because of Rabbeinu Tam. And the Pshat Rabbeinu Tam is, first of all, because women get schar. And the men make it, and the men are also included. So he's putting a little bit of the Ran with a little bit of the Ritva, making a little concoction over here. And justifying she does Rabbeinu Tam. I guess that far they weren't going to go. No, he's a Malakid. He's telling you what the Rishonim say, but he's bringing together a couple of different Rishonim over here. He's bringing around, mixing a little bit with the Ritva. Okay. But at the end of the day, the accepted practice today in Klai Yisrael is Ashkenazim do, Sfaradim don't. But again, it takes a lot of work to come to that conclusion. And again, I'll say it again. If you go through Shas, and not that I've gone through Shas, but the little sugyas I've gone through, it does not sound like Rabbeinu Tam. It does not sound like Rabbeinu Tam. In Gemara, it's hard to prove Rabbeinu Tam. Well, again, Rishonim said it. The Ritva said it. The Ran said it. They all said the same nosach. What? That there's no good rayas to back Rabbeinu Tam. Yet that has become the Ashkenazic practice. And they call it a Svara. We just broke our heads trying to understand what the Svara was. It's an interesting thing. To them, it was such a given. To us, we can't figure it out. And that has become today the Ashkenazic practice, is that all women do make brachas on time-sensitive mitzvahs, as far as the women don't. But again, just to fairize, it's not, the Rambam never says why. The Rambam never tells you why you can't make a bracha. So you have to figure it out on your own.
And why did, at the end of the day, Ashkenazic women?
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah, it's not a suffix. It's so partial to everyone. Everyone knows. Everyone knows what should be done and shouldn't be done. Okay, everybody, so we got to move on. We are now officially entering into the parts of Kiddushin that are now full-blown Kibbutz Aveim. Now we're full-blown into Kibbutz Aveim. We're going to be discussing now for the next, I don't know, what do we got? Probably the next blot and a half, two blot. That's another year or two. We'll be discussing fully the sugya of Kibbutz Aveim. So let's take a look at the Gemara over here. Again, some of these Gemaras seem to be agadatah, and they probably are. And most yeshivas, they skip them. But I think there's what to gain, even in the world of lamdas, from some of the agadatah Gemaras as well. So I think Gemara's story. Ki asin Rivdimi. Rivdimi says, I'm going to tell you, if you remember, we had a Gemara. The Gemara started off with, what is the paradigm of Kibbutz Aveim? So we started off with a story with Agoya, Doma ben Asina, and he was our role model when it came to Kibbutz Aveim. Now the Gemara tells us, I'll show you a Jew. He asked Rivdimi, Omar Rivdimi said, Pamachas hoye lovish sirkon shel zahava. I was once wearing this beautiful golden outfit. V'hayoyshev ben gedoli roimi. And I was sitting amongst the royalties of Rome. Right? I'm sorry. This is going back to Doma ben Asina. Rivdimi is going to tell us one more story about Doma ben Asina. Right? We know Doma ben Asina, he was the guy who did not wake up his father to make the big business deal, and we're supposed to learn from him. So Gemara tells us one more story. The next Gemara will talk about a Jew. Gemara says one more story about a guy. Another story about Doma ben Asina, Zagrashi. Pamachas ha'ilovish sirkon shel zahava. He was wearing some form of golden clothing. V'yoyishiv ben gedoli Rome. He was sitting amongst all the dignitaries of Rome. That's a who's who of Rome. Uba se'ima, his mom comes. V'karata mimenu. She rips his beautiful clothing. V'tof cholei ha'roishoi. She smacks him up on the head. Yarko they make fun of. She spits in his face. Now, clearly, his mom is not 100%. It's not my chiddush. Tyson is going to say that. His mom is not really there. We'll talk about it. Says the Gemara, v'lo hichlima. He never embarrassed him. He sat there, stoic. His mother's embarrassed. He's sitting there in front of this big dignitary party. Gidele Romi, and he's just sitting there. He sits. What should he have done? Anthony should have beat up his mother. Tackled her, security.
Got married, get the
same. What should he have done exactly? The Gemara is telling this for us to learn. We should learn from this guy, Doma ben Asina. Look what he did when his mother did this to him. So that means this was right, which means Doma ben Asina's behavior was halachically the right way to go. Which means if someone, lahavdil, if this is what happened to a Jew, guy sitting at the big dais at some big event, his mother walks in, starts spitting at him and starts whipping his shirt, you just sit there, take it. Nothing like that. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying.
It's unique to that incident, that no matter what your parents do, you still have to throw a kibbutz.
So that's interesting. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara doesn't say, it just says, v'lo yichlima. He didn't embarrass her. Now, that wouldn't have... Right, he took it. I mean, as opposed to what? Yelling and screaming and calling security and having her put it away or whatever, something like that. So that's the lesson of it is v'lo yichlima. What form of kibbutz is that?
I mean, sometimes being passive and not doing anything. But he
was Mekayim, which mitzvah? Kibbutz Aveim?
Mevayish's
mother. So, right. So not being Mevayish, that would be in the Moira department. Not Kibbutz, but Moira, the other section.
Or maybe Kibbutz for not having have security coming out to cover and taken away because it's crazy.
All right. The question is, would he have been allowed to have her not have her denied access to the room? That also be a breach of Kibbutz Aveim? I mean, this is all after.
You mean before it happened?
Yeah, before it happened. It sounds like from this Gemara, that part of Kibbutz Aveim, you have to take abuse from your parents. Right? So it's a pel. So let's take a look in Rashi. No, this is Goyim. This is non-Jews, guys.
What Jewish mother is going to spit
on her son? I wish. I hope no Jewish mother would do it. Unfortunately, we're going to see in the Rambam that it could happen also. So let's see.
This is by anyone.
Even if
it's not your mother.
Okay, good. Let's see Rashi. Says Rashi, who's the he? Doma ben Asina. We're going back to our buddy Doma ben Asina to learn the lesson from the goy Doma ben Asina. Sirkon lovosh shakirin cinder shal zahav merukim chutei zahav. Rashi's bothered. The coat can't be made out of gold. You can't wear clothing made out of gold. It doesn't really work. So it means it was thread from gold. Embroidery. Okay. Comes along Taisvis, a small innocent Taisvis. Says Taisus, Yesh b'medrash, shahoysa miturefes midait. Says Taisus, she wasn't 100%. She was not normal. She was not mentally stable. So who's Bill Taisus? What does Taisus want? An innocent Taisus. Taisus comes in and says, Rabbi, you should just know, Doma ben Asina's mother was not mentally fit. So that's the question. What do we learn from this? Now, if you
maybe the tati is exempted, it's lifting the shirt.
Good. So let's see. Now, if you Oyler remembers. This is now we're learning about Doma ben Asina's mom. Does anyone remember Doma ben Asina's dad?
Yeah, he was sleeping.
Right. So Tyson, so Ramosha points out.
You know why he was sleeping? Because his wife was like that. He would sleep all day.
That was Michael, if anyone wants to. That was not me saying that. But either way, but Ramosha points this out. If you remember, Ramosha says many of them. Remember, we were trying to figure out what was Dumb and Sina's father thinking? So Ramosha says, you see from Tyson that only his mother wasn't 100%. Dumb and Sina's dad was the normal one of the two. He was the normal of the two parents, and yet he didn't want to be woken up in order for his son to make money. That was the
question. The
nafkamina
between a parent who's mentally impaired or not, what's the essence of the mitzvah? Is it the child's, the son's mitzvah, regardless of how the parent understands it or takes it? Or is it totally in how the parent knows? So if the parent doesn't know that they're being disrespected, is it disrespectful?
It's a good question.
Right? Or does it not matter? You can't disrespect your parent. We have to show them covered whether they realize they're being shown covered or not.
So again,
or is it totally whether
so everyone here is making assumptions that you're all running with Tyson in one direction. Tyson told us a statement. The statement was that his mother wasn't mentally stable. Now what do we do with that information? That's what Tyson told us.
By the way,
even so, they put it up to say that even.
So everyone's assuming that you go one direction. The direction you go is that now that she's not stable, what? What's the end of that sentence? Right. Now there's no mitzvah kibbutz avim anymore.
I don't know. Because what's the mitzvah kibbutz avim? Is it my mitzvah to do it no matter how it's received?
Or this is still going to get a... Right. This is the shayla with parents that start to get dementia and all that.
I was just saying, that was
how we started to share. Yeah.
Telling us this, that really, he just went with Naim Ashur Sadim, but the real,
that's the question. What the Gemara is using this as an example for us Jews. But you tell me now she wasn't 100%. So that means we're supposed to do the same thing. If Chas V'Shalom, someone has a mother who's not mentally stable and she does this, you're also supposed to take it. Why? So take a look in the Yavis.
So what happens if your kids think you're never 100%? So that means they're just a duke?
She's enough mentally stable that she could be embarrassed. Because it's a loy chlima.
I hear. Okay, but loy chlima might just mean on his end. Again, I don't know what her mental, you know, I we don't have her medical workup over there. Where was the mitzvah? She obviously had enough brains to come in and to be able to do this. And she knew that, meaning she knew what she was doing. Right? She just, obviously a normal person wouldn't do this. So let's take a look at the Yavis. If Yaakov ended. Nearly. Why did Tosfos feel the urge to tell us that Dama ben Nesina's mother was not mentally stable? He said, okay, we have a different problem. Ben Noyach Nerag Afa Pach Mishav Apruta. Wow. Says the Yavis, we have a different problem over here. His mother damaged him. She was masochim. She ripped his shirt. So now she's considered a gazlan. She's stealing from him. She's Nera. She gets Misa because it's Pach Mishav Apruta. And by Goyim, by Shev Misa, you don't even need to be warned. The fact that you were prohibited is its warning. Im Kain, what? Yeah. Yes. The Goy, Ben Noach is Mitzuvah and all Shev Misa, and they get Misa for it. That's why we talked about a Goy Shadak who doesn't portion. Yeah, no, it is. It's not easy to keep Shev Misa. But listen to this line in the Ivy.
The mother would have bought him the comet. No, it wasn't what he bought.
But then he was coined it. She gave him as a gift. It belongs to him.
So it's
but listen to this line in the Ayvitz, guys. Im Kain, loy ha-yechayiv b'chvayda. Why? Says Reb Yaakov Emden, you know why the mother has to be unstable? Because if she'd be stable, she'd be chayiv misa. If she'd be chayiv misa, he wouldn't have to honor her. Why wouldn't he have to honor her?
Because like we said, mumar, this or that. Because she's...
Popular. This line is very unclear to me. The Reb Yaakov Emden says, because if his mother would have been stable, then she'd be in a violation of Shev Mitzvah Nech. She gets a death penalty. It's a good question.
If he's
Machbid
on it, if he's Michael on it, then she doesn't get the death penalty.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's true. But what does he mean by this? Imkin lo hayechai b'chvoideh. So most of us are going to assume it means because now she's deemed a Russia. Right. And there's no mitzvah to honor a Russia.
Even if the Russia's a parent?
Even the Russian band, even though that's a machlokes rishonim, we'll come back to it. Big machlokes rishonim, we'll come back to it. It just came up. Just came up in the Daf Yomi. The end of Baba Kama came up. So yeah, so let's see. So he continues. Gam he gam hayetzorch limchis biyaday. Taina the Yaakov Emden. Why did he allow this to happen? He should have stopped her. Why? Befrat ekanam b'shem baltashkas. He's just letting her destroy things. Why would you let her do it? Even though it's not one of the Shev Mitzvahs Ben Noach, Mia Bas Ketolahav. She's a walking dead person. She's going to get Misa. For Loma Hinicha Leheschai Benafsha. So now Rabbi Yaakov Emden sounds like he's changing. That's the answer. That's why Tais had to tell us that. She's not Chai Misa because she's not 100%. Says the Yaivitz, unbelievable Chesh, but he says, how, even a guy, yeah. He says, how could the son let his mother set herself up to get Misa? You watch the mother, you see where she's going, you know she's going to rip my shirt, she's going to do this, and now she's going to get Misa. How can you as a child allow your mother to get the death penalty? How can you not stop her? Zokti Yaivit Elevade Miturev is Daiti Isa. She is not mentally stable. Therefore, the Labas Oinjami, she's not going to be getting any death penalties. But then that's why he took it. That's why Yaakov Emden learns the Gemara. A big Chiddush. Yaakov Emden seemingly learned the Gemara that if this would be a regular Jew, so again, a regular Jew doesn't get Misa for Baltashkos, doesn't get Misa for Gnev. But for a guy, since a guy gets the death penalty, it's a Musa Haskell over here. What's the Musa Haskell? You have to stop your mother from doing something that can cause her harm later on. Same from herself, right?
Also, where do we ever find that a guy has a bigger punishment than he
is?
I know all of them.
Sure. Huh. Yeah, you bet. As Rosson Zumi Sosson says the Gemara. Pachm Shava Pruta. We don't have Pachm Shava Pruta. They have even Shava Shava. Yeah, there is Chumrus for Shava Mrs. B'nai Night.
That's why I had thought she was wearing a gold coat.
Why?
Because it was more than Shava Pruta.
Ah, very good. That explains the value of the coat. I had very good. I got to learn the Gemara. That was just showing his chashivas. Right. You're saying for the mominess.
He was in the room.
I mean, he was ready amongst Gedalia Raimi. That's a good shot. That shows you that when she was Mazi the Beggar. Flopped off, good. A little ripped button does not necessarily show. I had a good shot. So they have a doctor, Yaakov Emden. Now we know the mother's not 100%. Okay. Now, let's take a look in Shulchan Aruch, number 5. Mamzer chayiv b'chvoid oviv u'b'moiro. A mamzer. Now, in order for a child to be a mamzer, it means someone had to do done an aveiro. And his mother had to have lived with someone she's not allowed to live with in order for him to be a mamzer. Says the Shulchan Aruch, mamzer yechayiv b'chvoid oviv u'b'moiro. You still have to honor your parents. Afilu hoya oviv rasha u'bal aveiros. Even if your father's a rasha, and he does constant averus. Must honor him, and you must fear.
Why does it say your father? Because your mother, the one who was mezana. Your father wouldn't be a problem. Maybe that's shot in the Shulchan Aruch.
That's right. Then your father was mezana with your mother. That's how you're a mamzer.
Michael.
So that's how you became a mamzer.
We'll explain how this works to you later.
No. One second. In other words, your father
lived with your mom illegally. Your father married your mother when he shouldn't have and had you.
Uh-huh.
So, as we say in English, takes two to tango, and therefore the father is also a Russian. So, Zakta Mechaber, there is a mitzvah to honor one's parents who are Baal Aveiros.
You're not a mom's if your mother's Mazana. In other words, and you came from your father, even though she was Mazana with somebody else?
You can only be a mom's if you were born from an illicit relationship. Your father had to be someone your mother wasn't allowed to marry.
So, if your mother had an outside affair and you were born from your father afterwards, you're not a mom's?
She's an Eish Yiddish Zinsa, but you're not
right. You're not a mamzer.
Okay, she has a din of Eish Yiddish Zinsa, but
the kid's not a mamzer.
No. Okay. She's only a mamzer if the relationship together was
little basics. I know.
Machlokes Mishnayim, Machlokes Tanayim, Chavi Lav, and Chavi Krisis. But we assume it's Chavi Krisis. It's pretty hard to get today, but
I'm not sure if she has an outside affair.
No, that's what I just
Chavi Krisis. That creates a mamzer. Or if she lived with a relative, it would create a mamzer. It's relatively hard because everything else is just chavi lav and chavi asay. But even amono to a kain gadol, grusha to a kain hedget, that does not make a mamzer. Even nida doesn't make a nida is the chiddush. Even though nida is chavi krisus, nida is a special zayis akasov, doesn't create a mamzer. Okay.
We're not going that way.
So that's the Mechaber. The Yesha Imrim says the Ramah, the Eino Mechoyiv Lechabit Aviv Rasha. The Ramah says, no, you are not Mechoyiv to honor your father who's a Rasha. Ela im Kein Osa Tshuva. That's Tshuva. So let's say, for example, this child is born out of an illegal relationship, but the parents do Tshuva. They regret what they did. Then you do have to Mechabit the parents. So
slippery slope.
Yeah, we talked about this a while ago.
Right.
And now we're seeing it again. Now the reason why...
Not to exclude his mother?
No, it's the same. It's going to be both. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this Mechab and Ramah in is because this connects to what Rabbi Yaakov Emden was saying. Rabbi Yaakov Emden sounded like that you wouldn't have to honor your mother because she does averus, right? But that's not so poshut. Because many, the Ramah holds, I'm sorry, the Mechaber holds, even if your parent is a terrible sinner, you still have to honor them. So that wouldn't explain why the mother had to have been Mitzrevis Daitai. Right? Rabbi Yaakov Emden sounded like that the mother had to be Mitzrevis Daitai. She had to be not mentally stable because otherwise... he wouldn't have to honor her anyways, because why? She did an aveiru. So that doesn't exempt you from honoring your parents. That's machlokes mechaben Ramah. The Ramah holds even if your parent does terrible aveiru, you still have to honor them. So that wouldn't be necessary for Taisvis to tell us.
The what, Ramah doesn't say that fear is for honor.
That is true. We'll see later. Well, again, the assumption here is the Mechaber said both Kibbut Umayra, and I don't believe that the Ramah argues between Kibbut and Umayra. He just argues on the whole premise. He holds that, yeah, again, we'll see later on. There's two places in Shulchan Aruch that talks about one place is Kibbut and one place is Yira. Now, what is interesting is the Shach. The Shach says, Mi wa'afa pishen m'choyiv l'chab de'osel etza'aroi. This is important. Says the Shach, even if you hold like the Ramah, that there's no chiv to honor a parent who's a Rasha, you still can't be mitzari. Now, why is that important for our story? Even if Dama ben Asina's mom was a terrible woman, he still is not allowed to cause her pain. He still wouldn't be allowed to throw her out of the room, have security tackle her, whatever. That would be tzar. So even if his mother would taka be a terrible person who does averis, he still would not be allowed or justified to be able to cause her any pain.
More.
Yes, yes, I agree. It is. Definitely true. Now,
even,
if you look...
Even if she's a shaita.
Right. So that poor, he's not getting involved. Meaning, if Yaakov Emden made two statements, one statement had to do with the fact that she's a sinner, and then the other fact is the fact that she's maybe potter because she's a shaita. So I'm just showing you that the fact that she was a sinner won't really change anything, because the question over here wasn't honoring her, it was being mitzai her, which you're not allowed to do anyways. Well, what about the issue of being a shaita? Take a look at the Ein Yaakov. Says the Ein Yaakov, the female shekatsu atayis is shayis materevish bidaitai, kamashimlon the avogav the karimlon shaita ein leboishas. Says the Ein Yaakov, I think what many of you were thinking, she doesn't really, there's no issa to embarrass a crazy person. They don't know what you're doing.
Because they don't know what you're doing.
Exactly.
But that goes back to the question.
Oh, so Zog the Ein Yaakov, I would have thought that he has absolutely no problem to wipe the floors with his mother, because she's a shaita. Says the Ein Yaakov, no. The chiddush over is afogav shaita in the busha afilochi mishum kovad lo hichlima. Because it was his mom, he didn't do it. So the question is, why not?
Because it's not totally how the mother would react.
You see from here that there's a higher level requirement for a parent than it is for a regular person. A regular and unstable person, you do what you want with them. They don't know what's going on. But for your mother, maybe like you were saying, for the mother, there's an extra required level that you need to do. Which is a little schwer, because we pointed out many times that when you're talking about a goy, there's only one type of kibbutz. There's only the ben adam l'chaveri, not the ben adam l'makom. I would understand this much better if you're talking about a Jew. Because by a Jew, there's two reasons why you honor your parents. Because God said so. And because you owe them everything that they gave you. So if the parent is not stable, they don't know what you're doing to them. They don't know. They don't feel like you're being mean to them. They don't have what's going on.
It doesn't matter. But God said you.
Yes, but a goy doesn't have that. We pointed out. So that's why I'm having a little trouble with this pshat from Ein Yaakov. What's the kamash mula? What are we supposed to learn from here? Just the karas ha'tayv. So if the mother's not stable, she doesn't understand that I threw her out. You know, unfortunately, these shayos come up halacha ma'aseh. Let's say you have a parent who's an alcoholic. So the child tries to somehow get the father to behave when he's drunk in public. So he takes his father, he throws him, he pushes him, he moves him. Now the father has no recollection whatsoever what the kid did. He's so gone. But the son's trying to, for his father's honor. His father sits at the table, he's just going to say crazy things. So the son picks him up and slaps him, he drops him on the floor, right? Is that mutter? How do you deal with these things? Fortunately, these are real shailas that do come up. Now let's take a look in the Rambam. Dr. Rambam. Ad heichin hu kibbut aveim. How far does kibbut aveim go? I feel not like kishal zehuvim shaloi. If your parent takes your golden money bag, call that today your iPhone. Veshlichu, because today your iPhone keeps your credit cards there also. So today everyone has everything in their phone. They have a little pocket for their credit card. Your parents take it, they chuck it into the river. The loy yachli meim. You do not embarrass them. Veloy yitzta'er b'fneim. You don't even get mad at them. Veloy yichos kenegdom. You don't get angry at them. Eli yikabel gzeres hakosav yishtak. You accept it as the will of God and you're quiet. That's one madrig. Says the Rambam, "V'ad heichin moira on." How far does moira go? Afilu ha'yeloivish b'gdei chamudois. You're wearing fancy clothing. The yoyish b'roish b'fnei hakahol, and you're sitting in front of a large group of people. You have to see a mashas. You have to go to the convention, whatever other big organization events that there are. Who bought ovi v'ima? Your father or mother come. The karu b'godav. They rip your clothing. V'akoyis b'roish. They hit you on the head. The yaruk b'fonim. They spit at you. Lo yachli meim. Do not embarrass them. Now the Rambam gives you advice. Says the Rambam, take it, but be quiet. And fear God who commanded you to do this. If a human king would make you go through this, you wouldn't be able to do anything about it.
Well, he made
this
the rabbi made the assumption that he commanded
him. Oh, what's the problem with the Rambam? The Rambam took our Gemara and plugged it in lahalach. There's a couple of problems with that. First of all, that Gemara was a guy. That Gemara, the mother wasn't stable. What's the status of this mom? Is this mom normal? Is an unstable mom, a stable mom? What happens in fact she's allowed to rip my clothing?
Yeah.
I have to just get beaten up. What's going on over here?
But it can't be something that's a circle of glory that is permitted for jail. Punishment itself is entirely different.
Yes, yes, that is true. The question is, what's the storyline over here? And secondly, and this I don't have a good answer to, what is this arichas in the Rambam? Right, we've all learned Rambam before. This is not the style of the Rambam to give you advice on how to overcome. The Rambam doesn't say that when Rambam doesn't tell you that if someone's forcing you to do avodah zarah, you should think, and he doesn't write any of that. This is the only place where the Rambam gives you azah arichas of advice, how to cope with it. You know, what is that about? And that I don't have a good answer. But next week, we will tackle this Rambam better to understand where the Rambam is coming from and how much can we borrow from the story of Dom Menasina. Because again, that was a guy. How much can overlap into Jewish life? And we'll see how it plays out. Halacha, mice. Okay. What?
Just like he wasn't surprised.